a faithful steward. Last week we opened the series of messages about stewardship. We talked about exactly what is it that we're talking about. What is it that we're addressing? What is it that gives us an understanding of stewardship? And we started with the baseline is that God owns everything. God owns everything. It's not yours. It's not mine. It all belongs to Him. And so all that we have and all that we are, our life, our energies, our well-being, our wealth, the car in the driveway, whatever it may be, the house that we have, it all belongs to the Lord. And it's there for His purpose. It's there for His use. And so when we start on that auspice, we start on that level, everything else falls in place, doesn't it? You know, life is difficult. Faith gets confusing because we make it confusing. Wouldn't you agree? Have you ever noticed that, and I couldn't even begin to tell you how many laws that we have, but all the laws that we have in our country, there's hundreds, maybe even thousands of them, but yet it still never has once changed the heart and the attitude of anybody in our country. Would you agree? Those that want to do wrong, they will do it. You can tell them they can have a gun or they can't have a gun. They're going to do it, right? You can tell them you can't be here at this time of day or you can't go there. If they're going to do it, they're going to do it, right? That's the depravity of man, the heart of man. But yet when you come to the Scriptures, what is it that man can or cannot do? He condenses life into 10 commandments, right? Now, that wasn't all the law of Moses. There was much more that was given, but yet he condenses it down to 10, and it's enough to convict the heart and see the need for salvation. Then in the New Testament, they begin to challenge him and say, well, what is the most important command of God? Well, then the Lord Jesus boiled it down to two. Two. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul. And then the second is likened to the first. Love your neighbor as yourself. He just solved every social, every societal, every national problem of the world right there. Two statements. Stewardship is not complicated, folks. Stewardship is not the pastor trying to manipulate your heart to give or do more. If you want to serve the Lord, you're going to do it. Amen? If you don't want to serve the Lord, there's no browbeating that I can do to get you to do it. Amen? Oh, you might do it, but you're going to mumble my name and gripe at me the whole time, right? Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. I had a deacon one time that we were talking about attendance and talking about trying to get people involved and trying to get to do these things and that thing. And, you know, as a young person, I was enthusiastic at the thought, man, I'm going to change this. We're going to bring life into this thing. And I had an aged deacon. He said, you know, they're going to do whatever they want to do. I said, oh, no, I think I can get him excited. I was focused on what I might be able to do. But the reality is, you know, we kind of get excited. We shine for a little while and then kind of like the fireworks that we spend money on for 4th of July. Oh, it's bright. It's neat. It's cool, but it's over, right? Because we're short. We're very small in comparison to what God is doing. And so stewardship is not about what we're going to accomplish, but what we're going to allow God to accomplish in and through us. Amen? We're going to allow Him to use His resources in the way that He so chooses with His infinite knowledge, infinite wisdom, because He knows exactly what needs to be done at just the right time with what He's given us. Do you find it peculiar that the Lord gives you in your Bible study the answer to the question that a friend or a family member may ask you that afternoon? It's not by chance, folks. God's working. Is it just by chance that He guides you to the book of Job and drags you through the challenges of that study that, and then a few weeks or months later, we find ourselves in a trial that we never thought we could endure? Amen? We find ourselves going to God's house, not knowing what it is that the pastor has in store, and we find out that God all along was waiting for our revival to just encourage and lift us up and give us the exact answer that we needed as we read a scripture verse. That's not by chance, folks. It's God using His resources and you and I surrendering to that. A faithful steward. How do we determine what is that faithful steward? The key for today, I want you to notice, is there also in your bulletin. It says, stewardship is responsibility with accountability. We're going to look in the book of Luke chapter 16. We're going to read verses 1 through 12, and we actually see a parable that Jesus shares of a unjust and unfaithful steward. This steward was a man that was working for his own value, for his own purpose, and was looking out for himself. Well, the end result was he was robbing his boss. And so the Lord Jesus uses this as an example to speak against the Pharisees and those that were trying to take in and abuse what God had given and not use it for the purpose that he had intended. Isn't it frustrating that you loan a tool to a buddy and he never brings it back? I can see all of you have gone through the same thing I have. So therefore, I loan out the old crescent wrench, not the new one. Yes, I'm getting thumbs up. That's how you do it. You don't give them the new one because they're going to get a new one and you're not going to get it back, right? Now, you know what? I love my buddies and I would give you anything that you need, but I just want it back. How about you? Or here's another thing. I did this to my dad. It hasn't been done to me. But my dad loans me the crescent wrench, and I decide it's a good hammer. And I just tear it all up, and I take it back to dad, and he goes, "What in the world did you do to my wrench?" I thought it'd make a good hammer. Well, it turns out it didn't really make a good hammer, and it didn't really make a good crescent wrench after I got it back to him. You see what I'm saying? When we misuse something that belongs to someone else, it's very tempting to misuse it. Would you agree? It's tempting. So therefore, when my kids come along and they're like, "So, Mom and Dad, what kind of car are you going to buy me?" I about fell over laughing. That was the funniest thing I heard all week. What kind of car am I going to buy you? Are you kidding me? Amen, brother. That's exactly what we told them, Carl. Now, we made some provisions for them, made some loan opportunities, helped them get some work. But yeah, you go buy your own, and you know that we were the most awful parents in existence. Well, you know, I kind of pride myself in that. But when they finally got older, they said, "You know, I hate to admit this to you, but yeah, owning my own car, I had a lot more pride, and I took a lot better care of it than I think I would of yours." You know, stewardship is something that we can truly be grateful for. Amen? We can be excited about. It was kind of exciting when I was at home, and I needed to work on my old car, and my dad had all the nice tools to do it and get it done. I didn't have them, couldn't afford them, but yet dad did. Isn't it nice to be able to go to a resource that is unlimited? Then, Lord, I've got a friend that's been lost. He's been lost as long as I've known him, and I don't know what else to say. I don't know what else to do. And he says, "Oh, come on, let's spend some time together. I want to show you what I can do." Amen? And then take that friend to the Lord in prayer to the resources that are unknown and unseen and watch him work. Amen? Stewardship is something we can be excited about. It's not what you're giving up, but it's what you're allowing God to use through you. The unjust steward, Luke chapter 16. He also said to his disciples, "There was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So he called him and he said to him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward.' Then the steward said within himself, 'What shall I do? For my master is taking the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig. I am ashamed to beg. I have resolved what to do that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses.'" So look at his plan. "So he called every one of his master's debtors to him and said to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' And he said, 100 measures of oil. So he said to him, 'Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, 'And how much do you owe?' He said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, 'Take your bill and write 80. So the master commanded the unjust steward, because he had dealt shrewdly, for the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning. Father, we come to you and we thank you for the reading of your word. We ask your blessing on the word, that you would guide our hearts and minds into the understanding, but more than that, the application of your word. Help us to unravel the mysteries that lay here before us, but yet by your Spirit, reveal the true depths of your riches, the realities of the opportunity that we have, but more than that, the servitude that we have been so blessed with. Lord, thank you for being the perfect, the righteous and holy God that you are, that there is no greater service than to be in service to the one true King. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we're looking over this, I want us to get into the scriptures very quickly here. As we look at the steward that came, he was robbing his boss. Now, I kind of, in the application of this parable, I really loosely apply the boss to God, because the boss is no better than the one that he's hired. We see his reaction to what the unjust steward has done. The unjust steward was taking things, and so the accusation comes to the boss and says, look, he's stealing from you. He's taking things that are not his own. And so then he calls him. The boss says, hey, come up here. I hear that you're stealing from me, so I am not going to allow you to work for me anymore. So then he's in a position to say, oh no, what am I going to do? Now, it's kind of a question of whether or not he can do labor. He says, I cannot dig. It doesn't really suggest that he was of age that he couldn't do that no more. But yet the language suggests that he's gotten so lazy in his job that he can't physically, or he won't physically work no more. He said, I'm too ashamed to go and beg. He said, aha, I've got an idea. He's stealing from his boss again. He goes to those that owe his boss and says, hey, how much do you owe? We're going to cut that in half. Just owe him half. Write that on your bill. And then the next guy, he owes 100 measures of wheat, said, cut that down and you only owe 80. Oh, yeah, can you imagine the back slapping and high-fiving that was going on there? Man, you saved me hundreds. You saved me all kinds. Man, we're buddies now. All right, that's what I'm counting on, right? He's looking for a returned favor down the road, isn't he? And the boss finds out about it. Man, that was brilliant. Says that he was shrewd, and the boss commended him for it. In verse 8, the last thing you would think is to compliment the guy that just stole from you again. But there's a lesson and a guiding point in the whole moral of this parable. That God is asking his people to not to be unethical, not to be lying and a thief, but to be motivated, to be wise. And being shrewd is not always a negative. Shrewd is good business sense, being applicable in what you're doing and then making good decisions to drive to that point in whatever it takes, being passionate about what you're doing. We're going to get to that in just a minute. The first point I want us to touch on is that, how is it that we know that we're a faithful steward? You ever gone through an evaluation? Brother Mike, in your job being in human resources, do you do a lot of evaluations? He makes sure they're getting done. He's got to be kind of an advocate for both sides, does he? Make sure things are getting done right. Have you been through an evaluation? Was you ever kind of sweating an evaluation? Yeah, sometimes companies will communicate with you. You're doing a good job. Some of you don't hear nothing at all until you find this little pink slip. Like, oh boy, that's not good. You know, what do we do now? We want that communication, right? If you really like your job, you want to do your best, you want that communication. And so the evaluation is overlooking of all that you've been doing as compared to the effectiveness, the availability, but then also what you're bringing to the company, right? That's what you're there for, right? To benefit that company, to do well. When we come to God as stewards, sometimes we in our spiritual lives, we need to sit down and have an evaluation of our own selves. Amen? And so as we go through this message, I want you to think of that we're not going somewhere, but we're going to God himself for an evaluation. I want you to even ask throughout this message at times, ask yourself, as a child of God, would I hire myself compared to the record that I have been living in my faith and in faithfulness to the Lord in the past year or so. A faithful steward. Stewardship is a reflection of our love and faith in God's plan and purpose for our lives. Stewardship, a reflection of our love, our faith in God's plan and purpose for our lives. Here's the key of faithful stewardship, is realizing what we have is God's and for His purpose. Are you faithfully trusting God's plan for your life today? Are you seeking to fulfill God's purpose in your life today? These two questions, I think, will help us to narrow down, am I walking in faith? Because often we say that, well, yes, I'm doing exactly what I think that I need to be doing or what I feel led to do, but yet sometimes we can get sidetracked, don't we? You ever notice, even in business, we get going well, everything's comfortable, everything's going well, all the charts are heading up the way they're supposed to, and all the costs and expenses are going down like they should, and we're feeling good, we're feeling relaxed. Wouldn't you agree? We feel relaxed, we feel content, and then all of a sudden we start allowing the distractions that we normally would not allow to creep in, right? And so we do in our spiritual lives. So we do in our spiritual lives. And then we begin to be a little laxed in our faith. We begin to be a little laxed in whose purpose am I fulfilling today? Sometimes we may even feel like that, well, I did really good last week, so this week, we're going to kind of coast. Can you relate? Yes. Faith is an off and on, but yet a constant, isn't it? We use the Master's resources for His benefit, for His pleasure, for His joy, and to fulfill His purpose. As an act of faithfulness, we set the stage for God to do great things and maybe even miracles in our lives of those who have trusted in Him. When we have given all things to Him, we allow Him to work the resources in the way that He sees best, but yet only He can forecast the need of who we are and what He has chosen for us to do. You realize that sometimes as we look at ourselves today, we think that what is it that God had in mind? Why would He call me here? Why would God allow me to endure this? Why is it that I feel so useless? Why is it that I feel so unused and unprofitable? But yet, you are fulfilling God's purpose as you walk and you trust in Him. Amen? Yes, it seems at times that we're not being effective, but yet sometimes many of you that are not able to do physically shine and bless this church and bless the Lord's work by your faithfulness and prayer. Sometimes God slows us down so that we will dig deeper in faith instead of digging deeper in other things. Amen? Okay. Number two, a faithful steward will give a maximum effort and serve with excellence. Have you ever just tried to skate by on the job? I know what they want from me, but I think I'm going to see how close can I get to just what they want and let somebody else kind of pick that up. Oh, every time you go and work somewhere, you always find that one, don't you? You always find that one that they'll actually do more effort and spend more time avoiding the job than actually just doing the job. Are you with me? Yes. Makes us grit our teeth, grind our teeth, and wonder why can't they just do it, right? You ever wonder if God is wondering about us and our walk with Him? In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, it says, "Whatever your hands find to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going." You're living on borrowed time, amen? So the time that we have is limited, but yet the time that we have is a great investment, a great opportunity that you'll may only have once, amen? You know, I look back, and each time that I can evaluate and look back on what I've done, I can think, oh my goodness, at the moment I thought I had so much time, and now that I look back, that was key, that decision, that opportunity was so key to so many things that followed thereafter. Hindsight truly is 20/20, isn't it? But you know what? God has 20/20 even greater vision for now, today, tomorrow, and always. Amen? And so when we're walking by faith, we're seeing the very best that we can because He is guiding us. What is it that we are doing? Are we doing our very best? Are we giving excellence in all that we have? Ecclesiastes chapter 12, we see another one. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is man's all. You see it? He's encapsulating our entire purpose of our lives. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. Oh my goodness, stewardship truly is with accountability, isn't it? Are we making a maximum effort and excellence in these next three areas? Are we making an excellent effort in our homes? Men, are we leading as we should? Men, are we the first in faithfulness? Are we the first in obedience? Are we the first to show love and compassion? Men, are we the first ones to show humility and apologize when we need to? Guys, I'm asking you because we are the leaders of the home. We are the leaders here in the church. We are the leaders wherever we go. Are we doing that? Are we doing what we should be doing? Are we compelling our family to follow Christ? Are we compelling them and teaching them not by what I say, but what I'm doing? Amen? Men, it's disheartening, and I'm preaching to the choir because you're here, but it's disheartening when men send their families to church and they don't lead by going and taking them. Amen? Let us always be living by examples. Mothers, wives, are you faithfully living a godly lifestyle to nurture your children and to support your husband, but more than that, to give that supportive example? Are we giving a maximum effort and excellence in our personal lives? 1 Peter, he challenges us in chapter 1, verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy for I am holy. Peter was preparing people for the end times. People was calling upon them that yes, the final days are coming, and so what is it that you should be doing? Many were thinking, oh, we collect water, we collect guns, we build defenses, and we hunker down for the battle. But Peter says, no, live faithfully, live holy, righteous lives in obedience to the Father. He is your defense. Amen? It does not call for us to not make provisions, to not make plans, to not act in wisdom, but yet sometimes we do all the others and neglect the most important. Excellence in our personal lives. We're called to live holy lives because the love of God that is given to us through the sacrifice of Jesus. Why wouldn't we want to? Because of the price that it cost the Lord Jesus. Are we given a maximum effort and excellence in our church membership? Acts chapter 2, verse 40. And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Man, wouldn't that be a tiring but a glorious day to go through 3,000 baptisms? And they continued, here's the key, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. That means they showed up, folks, in the breaking of bread and in prayers, and they continued in the ordinances of the church. Are you with me? We're becoming a society that we want to get our God through drive-through and go home. It is not how you've been designed. It's not how the Lord's church has been designed. He has not called you to be a child of God on your own. He's called you to be a child of God in community called the body of Christ. And folks, you and I are accountable to one another based upon that calling. Another thing, are we showing excellence when we show up to worship? Now, I'm not saying are we perfect. That's not what I said. But are we giving our true passion and best? You examine yourself on that today. our last point. A faithful steward not only starts well, but finishes well. This is a challenge, isn't it? You start out life with not a lot of baggage, but you end life sometimes with a lot of baggage, don't we? And you know there's times that it's really easy to just say, I'm just going to throw it all down and I'm done. I'm going to run. You know, I can remember as a kid, I was going to run away to Grandma's house. I don't know if anybody hasn't entertained that thought once in a while. Grandma didn't yell at me. You know, one of my favorite memories I still tell my grandma is that Mellow Yellow and a whatchamacallit candy bar. I don't even know if they make them anymore, do they? We'd sit on the front porch and we'd drink Mellow Yellow and eat whatchamacallits. And then I'd go run around the house about 15 times chasing the dog with all the sugar rushing through my body. Oh, you lived on a farm, you know? Go burn that energy off. Go help Grandpa work and do something. Be productive in it. Man, I had so much fun. But you know what? I was wanting to run away to evade or escape responsibility because Mom and Dad, they made me do things. Oh, that's terrible. Terrible. Sometimes we want to run away in life, don't we? Sometimes we find that place that I just want to give up, but yet sometimes finishing well is sometimes harder than starting well. Amen? But don't give up. God's grace is just as real as when you started. Amen? And if not, even greater because of our experiences with His loving mercy. Luke chapter 16. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. He who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? If you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? Oh, so many times people come and say, oh, I want to do these great things for God. Well, what are you doing right now in what you have? Well, I don't want to do that, right? That's boring. Oh, I want to be a blessing to all of the other families, but yet I don't want to be a blessing to my own family at home. Are you with me? I want to go to mission field. I want to go across the globe and share Jesus, but yet I don't want to go to my neighbor because he really irritates me. I don't want to tell him about Jesus. His dog annoys me. We give up what we got here at home, don't we? The mundane seems so plain, but yet do you realize that God works even in the mundane things? I really admired the scripture and really struggle with the understanding that when that man that was being stolen from, his steward went and adjusted the bills of those that were debted to him, stealing from him yet again, he comes back and admires the shrewdness of the man. I wonder if he was in or even thinking that, wow, if you would have been that motivated when you were working for me as when I fired you, you'd have had even a greater job, amen? Why wasn't he motivated? Because he was worried about himself. And he was sneaking around, spending all that time of taking to himself instead of trying to advance the one that had hired him. You know what? Not much different than we do in our own lives, do we? But Jesus was driving at a point and said, you also should be cunning and shrewd. The children of light, even they are not as cunning. What is he saying? He said, you're not passionate. You're not driving and grabbing every single resource and putting it into God's house, putting it into God's hands and making it available. How can we reach our community for Christ? We're always grabbing for the leftovers. We're always grabbing for what's secondary. We're always grabbing after I had my fill. But yet, God calls us to give the very best before we've ever even met our own needs. Amen? We open that paycheck. We open up our bank account online. God deserves and receives what is first before we ever look at anything else. Oh, so often I hear people say that, well, I can't give to the Lord. I just don't have it. How about we give God what goes to God and give an abundance, and then if we don't have enough, we cut out all those luxuries that we've been enjoying. We cut out all those things that don't really need to be there. We go back and with the wife or the spouse and we do our budget again and say, let's live within our means after we've given God all that He is worthy of. Are you with me? That's what a business does. That's what your boss requires. That's what your boss calls of you. You never think a thing of it, do you? You never really balk at it and say, this is business. If we all want to have a job, this is what we need to do. If we want to glorify God, this is what we need to do. Amen? If He's called me to worship, this is what I got to do. Oh, sometimes we think, well, I just, you know, I just want to love the Lord more. And, you know, we kick the dirt and, woe is me. When we forget we're soldiers of the cross, we've got a duty to carry, amen? Sometimes we got to do those duties and carry out those duties to get to the loving compassion that we crave. Sometimes we've got to discipline the body to do what is right, to enjoy the accolades and the peace and the contentment that comes after faithfulness. Amen? I want to look at one more verse. Brother Kurt, I'm going to jump down to Matthew 25, 21. God rewards faithful stewards. His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." I want to ask you, would you hire yourself based upon your faithfulness to the Lord? Would you give yourself a raise? Would you give yourself a promotion because you have been faithful in all that God has called you to do? I admit, doing a self-evaluation, sometimes we want to skirt those things that we really are wanting to avoid. But you know, if you want great and eternal riches and reward, we've got to face them today. Amen? We got to find those distractions that are hindering us from the eternal reward, but yet more than that, God's great working in our lives. Did you know there might be a great thing, a great miracle that God wants to work in your life, and you've just got too many things to hear what He's wanting you to do? Have we been good stewards?